You just give God thanks and praise for his goodness. That in spite of what you've been through this week and in spite of what you've been through in your life, if you don't know this God who's a way maker, a promise keeper, a light when it's dark around you, that's what God means to us. That's what God means to me. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like throwing in a towel, don't give in. We're so grateful this morning to be here. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm happy to see you. Look at your right and your left and say, I'm happy to see you. We got to get like, be back home. Good seeing you. Good to see you. Good to see you too. Howdy. I ain't seen a long time. And you see them yesterday, you know. Well, I ain't seen you forever. And what's the biggest thing? Man, you're getting fat. I break the spirit of telling people they look fat in Jesus' name. Just tell me you're happy to see me. Lord have mercy. You can't just be happy. Oh, you look fat. Oh, you look skinny. Oh, you're sick. You're sick. Oh, I didn't know that telling me you were sick, you know, but I knew it was so bad. Look at you. Jeez. This is my gripe for the day. That's Pastors 101. Just tell somebody, I'm happy to see you, and walk away. Listen, before we get started, there's a joke of a pastor who was boring. You could maybe see it. He was boring. He was real boring. And there was a visitor coming to church, and the usher says, where would you like to sit? The lady said, oh, take me right up to the front. The usher said, no, you don't want to go to our front because our pastor will put you right to sleep, so you need to sit in the back so when it gets real boring, you can slip out. The lady looked at him and said, do you know who I am? She says, no, but our pastor's boring, so I'm trying to save you. The lady looked at him and said, do you know who I am? She says, no, again, well, I'm the pastor's mother. The usher looked back and says, do you know who I am? The lady looked at him and says, no. She said, good thing, and she quit the church. We're going to start. So we're grateful for God. Be careful who you talk to. Careful who you talk to at church. Be nice to everybody. You don't know if that's my cousin. Don't talk about me. They're going to come back. Now, we're so grateful, and we honor Pastor who is sharing at Mount Carmel Baptist Church on today. They just got started the service at 10:45. But we're going to share on this Ladies' Month on a simple topic. Say, don't waste it.
Don't waste it.
Look to your left and look to your right. Say, don't waste it.
Don't waste it.
We'll be reading from the New International Version, Mark chapter 14, verse 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at a table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Another version says, Luke chapter 7 and verse 37, a woman who lived a sinful life, say a woman that lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at a Pharisee's house. So she came there with a jar of alabaster perfume and anointed his head. Say, don't waste it. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you, Lord, for our friends and all of us sharing and watching online. I pray, Lord, that you allow us this Ladies' Month to make sure that we remember the powerful women that have gone before us that made the world change, that have done great things. Lord, today we just want to say, don't waste it. Allow us to realize our gifts and our talents. Use us in these next moments. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. That's a very familiar passage. It talks about a woman with an alabaster box. You know the song, you don't know the cause of the oil, in my alabaster box. C.C. Winans. And they talked about this lady who broke the alabaster to anoint Jesus. And it became a very famous story. It was one of the only few stories in the Bible that's in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all accounted for this story with the lady with the oil. And it came to a point that this lady anointed Jesus and made a significant difference. So much so that Jesus told her, no matter where you go, this story will be told. So look at your neighbor and say, don't waste it. But before, Luke 7 and verse 37 gives us a good glimpse into the life of this lady. It gives us a glimpse of the life of this lady before. They said she was a sinful woman. She lived a sinful life. Now, a lot of us could use our imagination as to what that means. Now, some of us in here have never sinned, have never done anything wrong in our life. Now, you've never done anything wrong in your life. Ain't that right, Miss Calypso Rose? They've never done anything wrong in their life. And they just live their life like nothing has ever bad happened to them. But this lady was honest, and everybody knew her. It was so bad that all the scriptures, except one account, left out who her name was. They just said, the woman, the woman, the woman. They didn't even dignify her with a name because of the life she led. They just called her the woman. We do that here. We don't call names when we talk about people. That one, you know the one, the boy for the girl. The boy for the girl from She. Right there on the corner, who to drive the car? You know the license plate number, PF557. I use mine, so nobody can hear the talk. Said I'm you. PF557 are my license plates. Don't say the pastor's up here talking about you. And you see where the car's been parked. And you see the car being parked. And look at what they're wearing. Look at what she's wearing today. This good Monday morning to work. That ain't even a Friday morning. That's a Friday dress. And look. She come in here. Look at, she smell good. Look at her hair done. Look. Who are you talking about? That woman. Have you ever known people that live such a life? That they've lived such a life, such a bad life, that people don't even give them a name? Because sometimes people are even afraid to say their name. They're like, yeah, he. Yeah, Pana, they really be doing a lot of nonsense. Who? You know, Pana. Because things happen so much in their lives that people don't even give you a name. You're known more by what you do than your name. And this lady, the things that she was doing before she met Jesus wasn't good. They said she lived a sinful life. At most, she was a harlot. A prostitute. A stripper. Y'all acting like y'all so saved, like y'all ain't never. There are people that do these things. Or there was somebody who just lied upon people. Gossiped. Talked bad. Envied. Hated. Oh, those are sins too. See, we often like to look at people and judge them based off because our sin is not their sin. Their sin is public, ours is private, so that makes us better. Yeah, I could talk about you because you know what? You're the one that get pregnant. I just make sure that he uses a rubber and I don't get in trouble. So that's why I never got pregnant, but you did. So you're as sinful as the day is long. Oh, yeah, you got caught drinking. You got caught out drunk. Oh, yeah, you got caught stealing. And because they got caught, somehow their sin is worse than your sin that you do every night in secret. Somehow that makes you better than everybody else. Because your sin is all covered up. You're good at hiding it. Nobody can tell. You look so cool with your sinful self. You sin in private. You just, how are you doing? Blessed and highly favored? I can't stand them. I can't stand them. Lord, help me. I can't stand them. See, unlike if you're like me, when you're upset, if you've been around me long enough, if I'm upset, Everybody knows. If I'm happy, everybody knows. I can't hide it. It's a gift and a curse. Because even when I try to lie, oh, I'm okay. I'd rather be like that than sin in private. What you see is what you get. Now, if we're able to do that more often, more people will feel accepted in church than feeling ridiculed, because we're not judging them based on what they do. We're looking at them as a human being trying to work on themselves to get better. So this lady was a sinful lady. She lived a sinful life, but that didn't mean that she didn't have the qualifications to meet Jesus. See, that's the thing. Some of us think that before we get closer to God, or before we get the introduction to meet Jesus, we need to have everything correct. This lady met Jesus in her sin. They said a sinful lady came to Jesus. Not a lady that had it all together. A sinful lady met Jesus. They haven't started my clock, so I could preach longer. They haven't started my clock, so I just keep preaching. I'll preach here until tomorrow. Amen? Let's just start over. We're going to start from Genesis 1. Amen? Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. I'm just playing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to discover how we got to this place. See, Jesus doesn't stop you from meeting him because of your sin. So some people, if you're saying that I need to get it all together before I give my life to God, I need to get it together before I come into church, that's not the case. God wants you with all your little gangster self. You imagine if we had an usher who was gangster? I wish I had an usher who was gangster. Hey, how are you? How are you? Is somebody coming acting funny? Hey, how are you? No acting up today, sister. Jesus loves you. Amen. Now, if I had security, I don't want the nicest person on my security. I want the dude that used to bounce at the club, but then got saved one day. So when we're out and I'm walking through because I'm tall. You see how tall I am? Sometimes people mistake me. So I'm tall, right? And sometimes when I'm walking through crowds, people step on my foot. I guess they don't see me, or they bump into me because I'm short, I guess. I imagine my security guard was a big, beefy, like my cousin back there, Rudy, like my cousin. And he gonna cuss me for calling him out. But imagine if he was in charge of security. When he comes in, everybody going to chill out. He's going to be like, the pastor is about to come. Huh. When I walk in there, ain't nobody going to say nothing. I'm just giving you an example. We don't care what you have. God just wants you the way you are. You feel like you need to change who you are. You need to change your personality. You need to stop being so funny. You like to laugh, and you come to church, and you stop laughing. You like to have a good time. You like to throw parties. You know how good it would be if DJ Carly Cartel joined the church? Every Friday, youth fellowship, we DJing. What? He's back there. Hey, nice to see you and his wonderful wife. You imagine how our parties will be at church? He'll put a Sinatra beat behind Vibe. What did he? Come as you are. God wants you just with your gifts and your talents. Some of you are feeling like you need to switch everything in your life. God wants your heart, your gifts and your talents, he wants them to remain the same. See, the only thing that's different right now, you're using what you have to serve the world. God wants you to take that same gift and serve it towards him. So if you think about this lady, this wasn't the first time she rubbed a man's feet down. This wasn't the first time she rubbed somebody's hair down. This wasn't the first time that she did that. But before, she was wasting her oil. You see, she was wasting her oil on men that didn't deserve it. She was losing her blessing and her expensive perfume on men that didn't deserve it. Now, women, I see you that you're with your husbands and your boyfriends, so you can't really say this, but if you agree with me, if there were some people in your past that you just wish you could forget, just say amen. If it was a man that you could wish you could unmeet, just say amen. And you're like, you wasted my time on that. Good for nothing. He looked good, but just wasted. And I gave him my special recipe of my chicken soup. He didn't even deserve that. Some of you older people will get that later. Amen. The first point is, don't let your past dictate you. Don't let your past dictate you. Isaiah 43:18 says, forgetting the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, some of us right now are preventing from going forward because we keep dwelling on our past. See, if this lady remembered all the stuff that she did before, she would have never moved forward. Don't dwell on your past. Don't let what you've done, even up to last night, stop you from having a better and a closer relationship with God. See, some of us are afraid to take the first step because we're remembering what all the stuff that we used to do. See, this lady didn't allow her past to stop her from going to see Jesus. Don't let your past stop you from a relationship with God. The second thing is, sometimes you have to break to get better. Sometimes you have to break to get better. See, sometimes in life, you want to get better, but you don't want to break. You want to do greater things, but you don't want to sacrifice. You want to change your reality, but you don't want to switch things up. See, this lady was willing to break the jar of alabaster so she could anoint Jesus. See, some of us have things in our life that we figure are too precious, that we figure are too anointed, we feel it's too close to us, and we're afraid to let it break. So we hold on to it with dear life, not realizing the very thing that we're holding on to is keeping us from being blessed. So you hold on to that job, you hold on to that person because you don't want to break that thing up because you're afraid of what's going to happen. But you are realizing that you've gotten to a certain point of your life that something has to give. Something has to break. You can't keep doing the same thing and getting the same results and then be upset. Who are you really upset with? You have to be willing to break. You have to be willing to go through something tough. You cannot get to the next level living the same way, doing the same things. I know breaking is hard, but you have to break. See, when you break, two things happen. Things become dismantled. Anybody ever here broke a dish? Anybody broke a dish? Anybody ever, the car ever broke down? Now, here's the thing about dismantle and discover. Why it's important to break. Anybody ever went to a car dealership to change your brakes? And the bill's supposed to be like $120? Then you get that call. Well, we just did an overall diagnostic check on your vehicle. And we advise that you change the tires, the oil. Seems like your radiator has a slight leak. You should change that too. And also your filter. You could do with a good filter change as well. Your lug nuts look a little rusty, so we'll throw that in for you for free. You went for $120, then you come out with your bill of $200, $300, $400. And they say, you know what? Let's just, Sister Joelle, $1,100. You just went there to get your car fixed. And you see, we have a mechanic. See, I know him, my man right there in the orange shirt. He looks like he's a car person. Yeah, I know. He's laughing now. Yeah, I got you. He's a car person. So you go there for brakes, you end up with a bill for a new car. Here's the thing, though. If your brakes didn't go bad, you didn't would have known that your transmission oil needs to be changed. If your car never broke down, you would have never known that there are more serious problems that need to be attended to. See, sometimes some of us are afraid when things break around us in our lives because what happened is we discover more things that are wrong with us. If I went to a doctor, he says, oh, I'm breathing a little funny. Oh, you have high blood pressure, asthma, and you need to cut this out. Oh, really? See, if you don't break, some of us will never stop and discover what needs to be attended to. So the breaking is important. So when she broke that jar, she discovered that it was not only oil, but it was something that she could use to anoint Jesus. The third thing you have to remember is that they will never forget. Say, they will never forget. When she went there with the Pharisees, they were like, does Jesus know who this woman is that he has anointing him? Does he know what kind of person this really is? If he knew how sinful she really was, he would never allow her to do that. They will never forget. See, they judged the lady. She came in. No one anointed Jesus' feet. No one anointed his head. No one took care of him. No one. See, it was a cultural thing, because you wore sandals back in the day, that if you had a visitor come to your house, the first thing you were supposed to do is give them something to wash their feet and wipe their face. That was tradition. But no one did that for Jesus. Everyone, even his disciples, just sat around and watched him with dirty feet, no anointing on his head. But as soon as somebody else came along and started to do the job that they weren't doing, they had something to say. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation. You ever seen something not being done at work? Nobody's doing it. Then 2 days pass, nobody's done it. Now you take yourself with your goodwill. You might not be the best at it. You might not be the most qualified, but you want to do it and you see a need and you feel it. And then as soon as you start to do it, everybody got something bad to say. As soon as you start to try, everybody starts to criticize you and talk about you and call you by your name and talk about what you did in the past. As soon as you try to do something different and better with your life, people will start to talk about you. They will never forget. As soon as you said, well, I'm going to try to go to church once a month. I can't make it every Sunday, but at least once a month, I'm going to try. God, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together, but once a month, I'm going to try. They're not going to forget. They're going to remember, oh, why he trying to come to church? What are they trying to do? Who are they trying to impress? I don't care what they don't forget. I want you to try and do what is right and what God put on your heart. You might not be good at it. You might not be the perfect Christian, but God wants you just the way you are. And so they're going to talk. They're going to laugh about you. They're going to say things, but don't stop. See, that's the thing that we learn from this lady. As though they were speaking about her, she was right there listening to them talk bad about her. But what did she never do? She never stopped. She never stopped anointing Jesus' feet. She never stopped giving him that anointing. She never stopped taking care of him. See, some of us right now are allowing the negative things that people are saying about us to stop us from doing what we know we're destined to do for God. Yes, I know you don't have it all together, but don't allow negative people to stop you from living a life that you've designed and God has designed for you. See, the thing is, this lady knew what she was up against. She knew her sin. She knew the bad things that she's done. But she says, I'm not going to allow these negative people to stop me from having a relationship with God. I'm not going to allow these negative people to stop me from trying to start my business. I'm not going to allow these negative people and thoughts to stop me from doing something different and better with my life. Some of us right now are wasting our talents and wasting our oars because we're using our gifts and talents for somebody and some things that don't even appreciate it. You're with somebody for 10, 12, 15 years. They ain't even asked you to get married. You're with somebody who with 15 years, they haven't even committed to you, but you still don't waste your oil, women. You're wasting all that good years of your life with somebody that don't even cherish or respect you. Don't waste it. You're at a job that people don't even care or enough to say congratulations. Don't waste your talent. You're chasing after people that don't even care about you. Don't waste it. Your gifts and talents are not dictated of the value based on the praise you get from people. See, some of us are waiting for somebody to come and pat us on the back and say, good job. Listen, don't waste it. The last thing I'm going to say is keep doing it until. The lady got deliverance at the end. The end goal is deliverance. And I'm so happy that I didn't plan this, but it's great that this person is here on today. Because God just put things together like this. I told this story in private before, and I hope she remembers. I told this story in private before, but I think this may be the first time I'm saying it in public. See, you can't waste your oil and waste your talents on the wrong things and the wrong people. And this lady realized that no matter how much people are going to talk about me, blame me, I am going to continue to anoint Jesus. See, she kept doing it because she knew the end game. When I was younger, I used to suffer from really bad asthma. Really bad. I was often sick. Ain't that right, Mom? I was often sick. I used to always have to go to the hospital. And there was a car, I don't know how old I was, maybe 9 or 10. There's a point that my mom got so tired of the regular medication. She got tired of the regular medication, so she went to West End to Miss Smith. And she got some crab bush, and she mashed it up and hated some salt from Salt Island. And I had to drink that for 7 mornings. Listen, it is the most unpleasant thing that you will ever drink. Now, this is not tea. This is the bush that's smashed, and you strain it out, the green thing, and you drink that. I put the limit on when some lady says you should boil a lizard with it so you can... I declare in Jesus' name that the juice of the lizard would not touch my lips. Am I making this up? The lizard. He used to boil it and put it. I said, no. God will heal me with just a bush. And then that worked. But then I got sick again. And I had I was really sick. I went to the hospital. I remember this. It was late. And then my mom said, I'm going to take you to this lady. I'm going to take you to this lady because your joints are out of place and the mucus has spread throughout my body and I started to dislocate my bones in my body. And then I went to this room of this lady. It's so great to see Miss Jack in the back because that was the lady my mom took me to. I hobbled in the room and they laid me down on the bed. And what I remember is that she started to light some candles and she started to heat up some oil. But what was interesting is she started to pray and sing before she even touched me. Because she understood that this was not just somebody rubbing me down, but she was about to start some healing in the room. And what I realized before I fell asleep is that she heated up the oil, but she didn't waste any of it. She rubbed the entire oil that she prepared on my body. And when I woke up in their house, I felt brand new. You see, she didn't waste her oil doing something with it that it wasn't purposed to do. See, she had that oil prepared, anointed, and prayed over to heal. Imagine if she had used that oil for something else. When I came, there wouldn't have been none. And I couldn't have been delivered because she used it for something else other than what it was purposed for. And I am better for it, Mrs. Jack, because of the healing touch that she placed on my life. This is a true story. This is a true story. A lot of us right now have oil, purpose in our lives that God wants to use it for something greater than you've been using it for. But because of fear, because of the life that you've lived before, you are afraid of what people are going to say. And now you're wasting your oil and your talent on people that don't even appreciate you. But there are people out there waiting for you and waiting for your purpose. They're waiting for you. Yes, you. I know you don't have it all together, but we're waiting on you. This ministry at this church hasn't started because we're waiting on you. Yes, you. We need you. We want you. As we stand all over the church, before the praise team blesses us, Sister Kimberly was supposed to sing a song for pre-sermon. I want you to sing that now. Before we pray and go any further, I want you to just take 1 second. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. What is it? What's the gift? What's the thing that you've been holding back that you need to surrender to God? Is it your life, your gifts, your talents that we could use here at this church to allow us to impact more people? And then I want you to think, what's that dream, that business, that situation that you need to correct? Put it in your mind. Because we're not going to waste it anymore. We're not going to waste it in the wrong place or the wrong people. God wants you. He wants to use all of us. A couple seconds to reflect, then we're going to pray. If you won't feel the need to come to the altar to pray, you're welcome to do so. We have ministers and people here that are ready to receive you.
A strong tower makes me safe.
A strong time. matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, God could use you. Before we pray, as all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, if you want us to pray for you just so God could give you some direction as to what the next step should be in your life, as all heads are bowed, just let go of your neighbor's hand and just raise your hand real quick. We'll pray for you. We see those hands. You just want clarification of what the next step should be, God. I heard what you said. We see those hands all over the sanctuary. We thank you, God, for people who are willing to open themselves up to the guidance of the next step. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, first to know that we are and still have a purpose, no matter what people say about us. Lord, we will not waste our time, energy, and talents on things and people that don't deserve it any longer. We'll stop trying to justify it in our minds why it makes sense to keep in the same broken situation. Lord, deliver us right now. Give us a clarity. Give us a courage to step out and live a life for you, God. Let us start that business. Let's start that relationship. Let's start that thing that we've had on our heart to do. Let's start it right now. And Lord, for us who haven't dedicated our lives to God, let's take the steps that are needed. Lord, if we take one step, you'll take another. Start bit by bit, and let's start with the decision. And Lord, for those that raise their hands, that they don't know exactly what it is, but they're willing to take the next step, I pray, Lord, that you'll give them clarity of mind to know what the purpose is, to know what they should do next. Make it clear as day. And after you make it clear, give them the strength and the courage and the endurance to fulfill it. Lord, we believe that everyone here has a purpose, and we'll live it out, and we'll give the best to you, God. So we sing this song, How Excellent You Are, and how great your name is, because you are worthy to be praised. In your name we all pray, and everybody say amen. Amen.